A very good morning to our legal commentator today, family lawyer Simon Jefferson QC.
Good morning, Catherine.
Simon, you're so thorough. We've probably got three topics that would take us a whole session. So do we want to begin with the family court rollback and then see if we have time for the others? Or do you want to give us an overview of some of the changes first?
No, let's do it your way and see if we can sustain Ian's belief in sane and sensible debate. Look, and the reason that this rather dull topic is important, I think, is that family law, not necessarily the family court, which is just one of the way stations, but family law is the area of law that most impacts on our population. And with a growing population, it's going to continue to impact. You know, births, deaths, marriages, they're all embraced by it. In 2014, the then government decided that the whole thing was too costly, it was a bit too Rolls-Royce, and to save costs and to ostensibly streamline the process in care of children sort of matters, they rolled out a whole new process. And incidentally, halfway through that, they decided there was an underlying philosophical discussion, namely to what extent should the state be involved in what are essentially private disputes. Look, it was an unmitigated failure. It didn't save the costs, it didn't streamline the process, and it never really came to grips with a philosophical question. And earlier this year, Minister Andrew Little commissioned a team to look at it, and they've come back with recommendations that say, look, let's roll it all back and let's go back to the future, to 2014, before it got meddled with.
I recall one of the things that happened, there was an endeavour to try and get lawyers out of the situation as much as possible. And what happened was, I think there's a bypass mechanism where you could have access to your lawyer and bring your lawyer into the system if you triggered a certain process. And a ridiculous percentage of cases just did that, right?
Yeah, well, that was one of the unintended and indeed unwanted consequences. There was a means by which you could bypass that. It was called the without notice process. And that burgeoned. And instead of providing a streamlining and moving lawyers to a slightly less central position, it just resulted in an impediment to people being able to access justice. And, you know, ultimately, lawyers and judges and court registries are simply servants. It's the public that need the access to justice. And these processes just were completely contrary to that.
What else happened? I recall there used to be funded counselling for a certain number of sessions, because there was no point in even beginning the process if people had not begun to deal with their own emotions. I think that went. Mediation became a much more significant part of the system. Could you comment from a lawyer's perspective on what did, or in many cases did not, work?
Well, taking the counselling out was folly, and it's going to be reinstated. People do need to deal with their underlying feelings. It's not all about carving up which days little Mary spends with Dad and which days little Mary spends with Mum, because Mum and Dad actually have to come to grips with their own emotions, and lawyers are not the right people to talk to about that. You know, it's just not our skill set. So, you know, that needed to be reinstated. Mediation is one of a range of resolution options which lawyers have always held back and say, look, we can do this, we can go to court, we can mediate, we can arbitrate, we can, you know, we can talk over a table. They're all arrows in the legal quiver. They took mediation away from judges, and I'll probably get shot for saying this, but that probably was no bad thing, because judges are essentially senior lawyers promoted to judicial positions. They're no more equipped than lawyers to do mediation. Mediation's a separate skill.
Is rolling back the change going to fix whatever was perceived to be broke? Or is, and a deliberate ungrammatical expression there, or is what is broken almost sort of baked in a certain number of cases?
Look, in a certain number of cases, it is almost baked. And it's, look, I'm going to go to a cliche. You know, it's the hard cases that make the bad law. It's only a very small proportion of disputes between families that end up being adjudicated upon by a judge.
Still 5%?
Oh, I would think so, Catherine. I think that's it's an anecdotal number, but I think it's accurate. You know, the vast majority resolve either themselves or with information that they might get from a lawyer or a citizens' advice bureau, or as they work through the process and realise that the emotional and other costs. So, you know, very few in real terms end up okay. in the court.
Let's talk about another really interesting recommendation that came out of the Law Commission, and uh-huh. this is to do with relationship property. Now, we covered the proposals in some detail with the Law Commission at the time. However, the government's response has been somewhat lukewarm from the response I've seen so far. I think, actually, to be fair, there's the inheritance law affecting children that's being reviewed as well at the same time that may be delaying things. What do you make first of the main recommendations and recap them, and then second, how likely are they to be adopted?
Look, this whole how you divide relationship property is an evolving process. Back in 76, we injected the equal sharing provisions. Before that, long before your time and mine, it was based on a contribution basis. That was deemed to be archaic. Equal sharing is now part of our DNA. We understand it. But what has become clearer is that equality is not necessarily equity. And this Law Commission has grappled with that. It's tackled the business of trusts. Every plaster and pastry cook seems to have a trust these days. It's dealt with the fact that there will be economic consequences on a breakup, and there is often a disadvantaged party, frequently but not always the wife. And this equality of just giving you half each doesn't cut it. Now, the Law Commission has been pretty bold, and it's suggested things like the splitting of income for a period of time. That will be contentious, and when it does hit the political agenda, I expect it will dominate the airwaves. But these are proposals that absolutely need to be put out into the open and need to be discussed. And they will trouble some people.
It was a period of years, I think, perhaps a small number of years, that it's the splitting of income continues. And that envisages, yes. I think, care of children primarily, doesn't it? And an adjustment period. The other big one was the so-called family home. Yes. And as we discussed, these days people can be on their second or third relationship. They can be later in life. They may have accumulated significant assets. It's proposed for the first time that the family home is not automatically split at the 3 years or at the point of divorce. It's an interesting one that all the partner who wasn't the previous owner or prior owner would be an increase in value. Is that more problematic, that one, to you?
I think so. I've looked at that. Again, it was slightly artificial when the 76 Act came in to go, well, we're going to take the family home out and we're going to give it a special status. And so it's remained for the 40-odd years that legislation's been current. It's just as artificial to remove it from that yeah. special status. I think it will be controversial, and the impact will be what happens to Mrs. Jones when the relationship splits up. Mr. Jones wanders off with most of the house and Mrs. Yeah. Jones has just a mere bagatelle.
Mrs. Jones hasn't been able to save or put towards her own independent house after her divorce, because that would be relationship property, wouldn't it? Those exactly. savings. That's yeah. one of the complications.
It is.
And the contracting out is the other matter, isn't it? The robustness or otherwise. And still relatively low uptake of, you know, they used to be called prenups, but again, for people who are into their second or third relationship, make awfully good sense, don't they?
Well, of course they do. But Catherine, you should sit in my office when I say to someone who's just got out of a marriage and is deeply in love with their next partner, and you say, have you thought about a contracting out agreement? And you're pouring cold water on romance, and they're not much interested.
Oh, I think the cold water can be contemplating what might happen at the other end.
Well, lawyers, of course, are always telling people the worst case scenario, but the clients aren't always ready to listen to that.
Simon, there's a third major topic you'd flagged that I'm going to leave because it's an important topic and we're going to return to it another time.
Certainly.
Lovely to talk. Thank you.
And
Simon,
you,
Simon Jefferson, QC.